Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church, God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Well, it's Christmas season again. As I get older and reflect on what mom and dad and aunts and uncles and the old people then used to say, it comes around mighty fast, and it certainly does. Now that I'm old, I realize how fast it does come around. It's the time of year when we lead up to the day on which we celebrate Jesus' birth. And also at Christmas, we traditionally give gifts to loved ones and friends, and on occasion, even to strangers. And therefore, I'm sure most of us have already begun thinking about what gifts to give. But as thorough as most of us are in preparing our Christmas list, more often than not, we do not have God's name on that list. When you're probably thinking, well, what can I give God that He desires? Well, to learn the answer to that question, we will only need to turn to God's Word. And this morning, in our text, we shall look at a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament, and in it, the prophet Micah is asking and answering the question, what does God want from us? You know, there's an old story of a young man who was there when the wise men came to worship the baby Jesus. And he watched in awe as they presented him gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And he wished that he could worship the baby too with a gift. Yet the young boy did not believe that he possessed anything worthy of a gift to the little king. So he hung his head, his eyes filled with tears, and he began to walk away. And then an angel appeared to him saying, give what is dearest to your heart. The young boy thought for a moment, and listening to the angel's advice, he placed a faded sack alongside the gifts of the wise men. And in the sack was a forked stick that he used for a slingshot. There was a ragged rope that he used to climb high trees, and a seashell, which when you put to your ear, you could hear the roar of the sea. He gave what was dearest to his heart. So this boy had the privilege to stand in the presence of the king. You know, an old proverb states that the only gift worth giving is yourself. And perhaps Paul expressed it best in Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. As I stated earlier, the season is upon us for giving. And it's a time of generosity, a time when we often spend more on gifts than we should. Yet it seems that the custom of giving gifts to Jesus, established by the wise men, has changed. Today we do not give gifts to Jesus as we do to one another. We think about the gifts we're going to give a loved one or a friend. We agonize over our selection. We spend our money. We sacrifice to pay the bills at the beginning of next year, and we endure almost any inconvenience in order to buy gifts for others. But I wonder this morning what it would be like for just one Christmas if we would make a covenant to expend just as much time and energy, be willing to endure any sacrifice and spend just as much money to present a gift to Jesus. Micah must have been experiencing the same type of dilemma in our text. And that text is found in the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. And I invite you to turn in your Bibles or one from the pew rack in front of you as I read Micah 6, 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. What shall I bring to the Lord? Micah asked. And when he's contemplating the answer, those first few phrases seem like a Christmas list. Burnt offerings, calves a year old, 10,000 rams, rivers of oil, my firstborn. Then Micah answers the question. No, God doesn't want this from us. The gift God wants are three in number. God wants us to act justly. He wants us to love mercy, and he wants us to walk humbly with him. What would Christmas be like if all of us metaphorically wrapped these gifts and placed them under the Christmas tree and presented them to our Lord Jesus? Let's look at that proposition for a moment. First, let's consider the gift of justice or acting justly. There is little justice in this world today. Almost everything seems to be unfair. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer, the bad seem to succeed, the good seem to fail. The world just seems upside down as regards justice. It is difficult to determine the true meaning of that word today. Where was the justice in California several years ago? A man abducted a young girl, attacked her, cut off her arms, and threw her in a roadside ditch to die. Yet she lived and testified against him, and he was sent to prison. And the only remorse he showed during this whole time was the remorse that she had not died and was able to identify. He only spent 8 years in prison before the state of California released him. The public would not have known he had been set free were it not for the friends of the victim who protested what they considered the injustice of his release. I was personally involved in a case in an automobile accident in which a father and mother and three children were killed. A young man had stolen a car. A young man from Florida had stolen a car from a professor at Chapel Hill and was coming up 85 the wrong way, trying to elude the police and reaching speeds up to 100 miles an hour. And he ran head on into a car, and the father and the mother and three children all were killed, and the young man was not injured whatsoever. Does this seem like justice to you? what would it be like if we as believers wrapped a gift called justice and brought it to the Jesus and told him, Lord, we don't care how the rest of the world may act. We shall be fair with one another. We shall always be just with our fellow man. We promise to be fair in our business dealings. We will not lie or cheat our customers. We promise to be fair with people of a different color of skin, and we will not talk unjustly about them. And we promise not to gossip and complain and argue with one another. What would it be like if the world acted justly? Second, let us consider the gift of loving mercy or kindness. God told Micah to love mercy or to be kind. And the Bible teaches us that love is to be patient. Love is to be kind. But it's difficult for us to find kindness in the world today. So many people show no mercy towards their fellow man. And the result of unkindness is rejection. Have you ever been treated unkindly? Have you ever had that sinking feeling inside because you believe people did not really care about you? Have you felt rejected by others? Last week I talked about the 10 lepers that Jesus cured. And most of you know that lepers in New Testament times were required to shout, unclean, unclean, when they were approaching other people. And the people would turn and run away from those afflicted with leprosy. But Jesus did not run away when he saw them. He did not turn his back on them. Jesus healed them and he treated these lepers with kindness. Kindness is an excellent gift to give at Christmas time. So let us make a covenant to give the gift of kindness. Let us promise to show mercy to one another. Let us promise to reflect the true spirit of Christ. Let others see the difference that Christ has made in the way we live and our life itself. I think the gift of kindness would be a wonderful gift to give at Christmas. Third, let us consider the gift of walking humbly with God. The Lord told Micah he desired a third gift, and that was for us to walk humbly with him. You know, Jesus came into a world of people who did not possess humility. He came into a world influenced by Greek culture and art. People were arrogant and proud, and they believed a person was only important if he or she owned a number of slaves and lived among the aristocracy. Such person would wear fine jewelry and make sure they flashed it among the common people so the common people could see that they were important, that they were someone special. Jesus likewise came into a world impressed with power. Roman officers rode on prancing stallions. They wore shining armor with plumes in their helmets. They carried gleaming swords and shields, and they gave orders. And people quickly obeyed those orders, or they paid the dire consequences for not doing so. Into such a world came Jesus, not riding on a prancing stallion, but seated on the foal of a donkey. He came with no possessions. He acquired during his lifetime no real estate, no fancy jewelry, no material wealth whatsoever. The world was unimpressed. It rejected him. It mocked him. It crucified him for us, so that we would have the opportunity to be righteous enough to stand in God's presence and to be with him for eternity. Almost 2,000 years have passed since then, yet are we any different than the Greeks and the Romans? Now we are impressed with the brand names. We desire to wear the brand name suits and jeans and shoes and own the brand name handbags, the leather coats, the neckties. We desire to drive the prestige automobile, and we desire to live in the upscale neighborhood. Yet to Micah, the Lord said we should walk humbly with him. In that text, God tells us that he wants three gifts from us. What better time to give those gifts than the season of giving gifts? If you have not already done so, now is the opportunity. If you are a believer and you haven't given those gifts, now is the time to do so. Today, you don't wait till Christmas Day. You give them to him. Amazingly, we don't need money to give them. We don't need talent to give them. Everyone here in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, can make those gifts. We can bring them neatly wrapped in our hearts and place them at the feet of Jesus. I suggest that if we do that, it may very well be the best Christmas we have known. So as I said, if you're here as a believer and you haven't given those gifts to God, in obedience to his word, make sure you do so. Make sure you start today with being just, with being kind, with walking humbly with God. If you are not a believer, you have the opportunity to give those gifts by accepting Christ as Savior, by accepting God's gift of salvation for your life. And then you too can walk with him, can be kind, and can also have the opportunity to be just to others. We invite you to come as we sing a hymn of invitation, hymn number 305, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus."